Thank you, Jenna. We're truly blessed. We're truly blessed to have you here. And thank you so much for that song. So before I start my talk today, I'm going to tell you a little story. And this, we're all familiar with the painting of the Last Supper that Leonardo da Vinci painted, correct? But we're not all familiar with the story about how he painted it. Did you know it took him 7 years to paint that picture? 7 years is a really long time. And he wanted live models for his picture. And so for a number of weeks, and he saved Judas for the last. And so for a number of weeks, he looked and looked, and he finally found a young man, 19 years old, who had the innocence and the beauty and free from scars that he felt would truly portray a Jesus. And after a while, he painted this person, and he found the additional characters, everyone except Judas. And over the next 6 years, he painted their portraits, leaving a space there for Judas. Now, you remember who Judas was. And so he wanted someone who was hard and had scars and looked like he might be guilty of hypocrisy and crime. Someone that would characterize someone who would betray their best friend. And finally, someone notified him that there was someone like that that they found in prison who was scheduled to die for murder and for his life of crime. And so Da Vinci went down there, and they brought him out into the courtyard. And here was this man, and he was quite bedraggled looking, and his hair was long and hanging in his face, and he was quite unkempt. And his face did portray what Da Vinci wanted Judas to look like. So he got special dispensation from the king, and he took him back home to paint this picture. And for months, this man sat with Da Vinci while he painted Judas. And finally, he put the last strokes on, and he was complete. And he said to the guards, "Okay, I'm complete. You can take him away." And the man stood up and he said, "Wait, wait. Don't you recognize me? Don't you know who I am?" And Da Vinci, who was a pretty good study of character because he was a painter, said, "No." He said, "I've never seen you before in my life." He said, "Well, 7 years ago, I am the person that you painted to portray Jesus." I mean, isn't that an interesting story when you think about it? Wow. So today's talk is, of course, our 10th core concept, Christ consciousness, and I entitled it Doorway to the Divine. Now, we talk a lot about Christ consciousness here, don't we, or God consciousness. Christ consciousness is the only thing happening in me, and anything unlike it falls away. That's one of my favorite affirmations. And in the Bible, Paul talked about Christ, and he said, "Christ in you, your hope of glory." Christ in you, your hope of glory. Now, what does that mean to you? I think to each one of us, it has a little different interpretation. Well, in Greek, Christ means the anointed one. And back in the day, the early kings of Israel were all considered anointed ones, the anointed ones of God. That's how they became the leaders of Israel. It was to indicate that they were the king. And so as the years passed, however, it came to mean that direct descendant of David, that direct descendant of David who was chosen by God to fulfill his purpose. And so Jesus was this teacher. He was a teacher from Galilee who demonstrated God in his life. And he became known as Jesus the Christ. Well, one of the things that Jesus did was he showed us our way to have self-realization. He showed us the way that we could manifest heaven wherever we are. Think about that. We have that ability to manifest heaven wherever we are. Jesus recognized the God within. You know, often he said, "It is not I, but my Father who does the work." That was the God within him. But here's the interesting thing that we usually miss. You don't have to be a Christian to have Christ consciousness. You don't have to be a Christian to have Christ. Think about this. Jesus wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew. You know, you don't have to be a Christian. It is something that is available to each and every one of us. It's something that is available to all of us, and it is up to us individually to achieve this high, high state of intellectual development and emotional maturity that is sometimes termed the Christed state because of the sacredness and the purity of the individual who achieves it. It's considered their anointed one. Now, Jesus achieved this in human life, and he became Jesus the Christ. But that same path is open to each and every one of us who are here today. When we learn to recognize that we are living, breathing vessels of love, we are living, breathing vessels of truth, and we are on this planet so we can actively pursue those truths. All of the world's great religions offer a pathway to achieving a Christed state, and everyone is free to find their own way in the context of their chosen religion. It's significant to remember that each one of us finds our own path to spirit, and what works for me may not work for you, and what works for you may not work for them. But as we open ourselves through prayer, meditation, and other spiritual practices, we can find our way to this regardless of what religious philosophy we are associated with. It doesn't matter. We say here, we honor all paths to God, and that is true, because all paths to God are a path to Christhood. When we are on the path to God, we are a loving, forgiving, patient, compassionate, tolerant, and happy human being. And all paths of love lead to that same divine source, love, the doorway to the divine. Ernest and Fenwick Holmes in this Voice Celestial tell us about this doorway to the divine. There is no need to leave the world of men, nor to retreat to some high cave or glen. Search deep within if you would truly find the springs of life in eternal mind. And as we unfold this truth within each one of us, we move closer and closer to that goal of the world that works for everyone that we speak about so often, a world that works for everyone. It is our intellectual and our emotional nature blending together that helps move us into those higher realms of spiritual truth. It occurs over time, and it occurs when we set our intention, and it occurs when we walk our talk. It occurs when we bring our attention to the fact that what we are here to do is to raise our consciousness to the highest that we can achieve. That is our purpose. It occurs when we focus on what it is we truly want to do. It is our doorway to the divine. Divine love, divine mind, divine personality, divine creator, divine creativity. As we grow, we share this quality with others. As we grow this quality within our lives. I think we all want a life where we can feel free to live in truth, to live in peace, to live in joy, and to live in love. That is the life we were born to live as a child of the Creator. I have an Ernest Holmes quote from How to Change Your Life. It is only as you live affirmatively that you can be happy, knowing that there is but one spirit in which everyone lives, moves, and has his being. You are to feel this spirit not only in your consciousness but also in your affairs. You are united with all. You are one with the eternal light itself. The presence of spirit within you blesses everyone you meet, tends to heal everything you touch, brings gladness into the life of everyone you contact. Therefore, you are a blessing to yourself, to mankind, and to the day in which you live. What better definition is there of Christ consciousness than that? Bringing joy into the lives of everyone we meet. And we become co-creators of our own lives as well. We get to make those choices of what serves us and what no longer serves us, what is important and what's no longer important to each of us. We no longer have to deal with things that do not make our life a life worth living. One of the ways we do that is we can go into the silence and spend some time exploring what it is in our innermost self that we wish, what it is in our innermost self that we choose to accomplish in this lifetime. And as we come to understand that, and we come to create the life that we have, we undertake this journey. And it's like, you know, stepping off the cliff. Once you've done it, there's no turning back. There simply is no turning back. And so our journey unfolds over time, and we get to move from that place in time where there is time and space, we get to move to eternity. We talk a lot about eternality of the soul here, and that's where we get to move as our life unfolds. And Spirit is always there supporting us. Spirit is always there strengthening us. Spirit is always there saying, yes, yes, you can. Yes, you are. Yes, you do. Eternality of the soul is ours. We are from time to time given examples of what is possible. We say in this philosophy, Jesus was one of those, and we say in this philosophy that Jesus was the example and not the exception. Jesus was the example of what we can all do. Over the years, however, various religions have dehumanized Jesus. His humanity is overlooked. They forgot that he was a human being and that he had temptations and that he was hungry and he had to eat and that he walked among us. He walked with ordinary people and he wore simple clothing and he lived the same way we do. He sometimes made mistakes. He sometimes doubted himself. We've all heard that story of how he doubted himself. He sometimes stumbled and remember, sometimes he even cried. But the other thing that he did, the example for us, despite the issues, think of how frustrated he must have been to stand up there and say the truth to people and have them ignore him or choose not to listen or choose not to practice when he was telling them over and over again how much easier their life could be and they chose to do things differently. That had to be a frustration, don't you think? I think so. But the one thing he did do is he prayed. He prayed without ceasing. He went within. He prayed and he meditated and he communed with God. And as he did that, he freed himself of his human limitations. And he showed us that each and every one of us can do the same thing. And we lose sight of that sometimes when we fail. Anybody here besides me ever failed? We lose sight of that sometimes when we fail. When we make a mistake, we beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. We can go within. We can start anew. Every day, we say, is a new beginning. And Jesus showed us that despite our failures, despite our obstacles, despite our shortcomings, we have the opportunity to become a Christed being. He was a God-centered human being, and he knew the laws of the universe, and he practiced meditation and prayer, and he was able to use that great power of love to the point of being able to heal people. He had no doubts. And he showed love, and he showed gentleness, and he showed patience. And all of us have those same qualities within us. All of us are capable of showing love and patience and gentleness and compassion. All of us are capable of understanding, like it says in Luke, the kingdom of heaven is within us. The kingdom of heaven is within us. He truly was an example, not an exception. He was the example of spirit-centered life. He was an example. I don't know how I'd feel about having a religion about himself, because what he was trying to do is show us how we could live. He was an example. And so within each of our hearts, there's this little seed of Christ consciousness. And it's up to each one of us to feed that seed, to nurture it, to water it, to pull the weeds, and to make and to help it grow. And how do we do that? Each time you pray, each time you go within and meditate, each time you read that uplifting book, those things are the things that feed that seed and allow it to grow. And with proper care and feeding, it will blossom. It will blossom into a beautiful and loving soul. A big, beautiful, and loving soul that is housed in our human body. As we continue to develop to our full potential by doing our spiritual practices, by reading those books, by meditation, by visioning. To do that, we can look past those barriers that stopped us. We all have the, don't we? All have those barriers, and we do just good until we get to here. And then something happens, and we forget. And then we beat ourselves up for we forgot. And so the idea is to be able to nurture that within us and allow that seed to grow, to allow that doorway to open to the divine. There are several things that we can do to help accomplish that, and many of them are practices that are taught here. We teach prayer and meditation. We teach visioning here. And in addition to that, you need to have the desire. You know, we don't move forward unless we have a desire to become more, to do more, to attain that Christ consciousness. And then we need the vision. We need the vision, and we need the knowledge. The knowledge. And how do we get the knowledge? Well, we get the knowledge by the books we read, by the classes we take, by that meditation again. Boy, I'm really pushing meditation today. And we do it by faith. Faith is the belief in something unseen. Faith. We do it by faith. And setting our intention. Because when we set our intention, the universe moves into action and it says yes. And it creates whatever is necessary for you to accomplish that intention. It brings those opportunities into your life for you to be able to accomplish whatever it is you need to do. And then, of course, prayer. Pray without ceasing. We say prayer, pray without ceasing. And there is a song that says, every thought becomes a prayer. Every thought becomes a prayer. And so when we are thinking, we need to be right thinking so that our thoughts do and can become prayers. And when we finally experience our true identity as a God being, we will know that there is nothing outside of God. I have a book here by Walter Starkey, who is a religious science minister, and the name of that book is It's All God, and we actually have an elective class by that name. And so what he says in his book is that we need to look and seek and listen to our higher self, because it is all God. And when we reach the point that we recognize it's all God, we can change the Lord's Prayer to say, my higher self, which art heaven consciousness, holy be thy recognition, the kingdom of my higher self come, its guidance be done at the outer material level as well as the inner spiritual level. My higher self fulfill for me all my daily needs, body, mind, and spirit. Release me when I have not listened to my higher self, as I release others who are not listening to theirs. And lead me not into the temptation that believing the lower self is all. Deliver me from the evil of believing that I am not already one. For this realization of my higher self is heaven, the only power and the only glory of all being. And so what I think he's saying as he rewrites this prayer is that sometimes we forget that God is all. Sometimes we think that there is good and evil, and truly there's only good and the absence of recognizing the good. So when we pray, what we are doing is we are taking our lower self, our ego, and we are contacting our higher self, our God within, our Christ mind, our God mind. You know, Christ consciousness and God consciousness are pretty much interchangeable terms if you don't like the term Christ consciousness. We are seeking the God within as opposed to looking outside of ourselves for someone to fix us or to fix it. We are looking within and accessing that strength and that power and that wisdom that is ours when we are open and willing to receive it, open and ready. When we set our intention to become or to be, not to become, but to be the truth of who we are, an individualized expression of God right here and right now, an individualized expression of the divine, it is our birthright. That is what we are born to be. We are not our bodies. We are spiritual beings. So let us move back to our oneness, with God. Let us move back to our understanding that we are always one with God. We've never been separate. Sometimes we lose that recognition of our oneness with the divine, but we are never, ever separate. And we can become like Jesus did, the Anointed One. We can open our own individual doorway to the divine. As we pray and we meditate, we come to realize that not only are we the observer, we are also the observed. Not only are we the child, we are also the parent. Not only are we the teacher, we are also the student. And we get to share what Christ consciousness stands for. We get to set an example for others. We know there is only one consciousness and one presence, and it doesn't matter what your philosophy is. It doesn't matter if you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Jew or a Christian. There's only one consciousness. There's only one God, and we are part of it. And as we get to the point where we are recognizing that Christ consciousness, we become part of a larger circle around the world, of people who understand that separation is simply an illusion and that we are but one consciousness. There's only one power. There's only one presence. There's only one life. So what I'd like to ask you to do this week is some prayer and meditation and allow that doorway to the divine to open for you. Please join me in prayer. Sweet, sweet Spirit, Father, Mother, God, that divine wholeness of which we are part, the one, the Alpha, the Omega, the all in all, light and love, peace and joy, wholeness and compassion, God. And I know that I am one with that divine presence. It is all there is. It can be no other way. And if that is true for me, that is true for each and every person in this room today. One with the divine, whole, perfect, and complete. One with love, one with peace, one with joy. And so as I speak my word today, I know that if any of us have anything heavy on our hearts, we can lay it down and let it be and move into the knowledge and the wisdom that God is all there is. God is the truth of our being. God is the truth of each and every activity that occurs in our life. God is active and present in all of our communications with one another. God is our health and our wholeness, our strength and our joy, our wisdom and our light. We are one with each and every quality of the divine. As we move through this week, we allow that joy and that light and that peace and that Christ consciousness to express itself in, through, and as us this day and every day. And we give thanks. We give thanks for the powerful presence of Spirit in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. We give thanks for the health and wholeness that we claim this day. We give thanks for our abundance. We give thanks for the joy in our lives. And I simply release this word to the law that always and only says yes. Please join me in affirming, and so it is. Amen.